Yeah, hi. I'm Steve Charney. This is Knock on Wood. I'm not feeling too good today. I'm feeling pretty awful. Kind of depressed, actually. So, I don't know. I'm not probably going to do any comedy today or anything like that. Probably just play some records and lay low. I don't know. Must have gotten off the wrong side of the bed, or so maybe it's my biorhythms, astrology, I don't know. Scorpios and moon rising or something like that. I don't know. I can't get into this. Anyway, so let's see. What are we going to... Oh, we'll play Captain Sticky. I don't know. Maybe they'll make you laugh. Because to tell you the truth, I'm really not in the mood to be doing comedy today. But show's got to go on, I guess. I think it's pretty stupid. All right. Captain Sticky here from Rhino Records.
Sticky, destroyer of evil, the cape crusader with the peanut butter gun. Stick with Captain Sticky, destroyer of evil. It's woe to the foe and he's got him on the run.
It's woe to the foe. That's the good guys versus the bad guys.
He says it's good to be good and it's bad to be bad. Good people know what's right and wrong and now they're getting mad. Sticky Secret Service and the Sticky Mobile make war upon the criminals who lie and cheat and steal. Stick with Captain Sticky, destroyer of evil, the cape crusader with the peanut butter gun. Stick with Captain Sticky, destroyer of evil.
Betting on the forces of evil is not bad, it's getting involved.
He fights for people who care, yellow, red, white, and black. If you're oppressed by someone and you cannot fight him back, just get your crackers ready, cause there's help on the way. It's onward, upward to a better, stronger USA.
Our great country was founded by men of mission. Was taken over by men of opportunity. It's about time that the men, women, and children of mission and vision take the country back to the people where it belongs.
Stick with Captain Sticky, destroyer of evil, the cape crusader with the peanut butter gun. Stick with Captain Sticky, destroyer of evil, it's woe to the foe and he's got a destroyer of evil, the cape crusader with the peanut butter gun. Stick with Captain Sticky, destroyer of evil. It's woe to the foe and he's got him on the run.
Yeah, this is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. I'm feeling pretty lousy today. In fact, I'm feeling downright depressed. And the way I see it, why should I always be in character for you, the listener? You know, why do I always have to be cheery and entertaining? I'm human. I have multiple facets to my personality. Why should I just show you one side of myself? I'm always hiding those unpleasant parts that my family and friends see when I'm off the air. Well, today you get to see them. Because to tell you the truth, I'm not in the mood to make jokes or be silly. If you don't like it, tough. Go listen to the classic rock station. Maybe I'll just play records and not even do any routines.
Hi, Steve!
You're late.
That's it? That's it? I'm late? No hello? No how are you?
I don't really care how you are.
Steve, you're out of character here.
Buzz off.
Steve, according to my script, that's not what you're supposed to say at this point in the program. What about the joke on top of page 2? Do you even have a script?
I threw it out.
Oh, great. What's the matter with you? We have a show to do here.
Yeah, give me your script.
Now that's better. Hey, what are you doing?
I'm throwing it in the garbage.
Hey, you can't do that.
I just did. Now I'm going to put on a record.
Wait a second, wait a second. I don't think you understand the seriousness of what you're doing.
What are you talking about? I don't feel like being kooky today, so? Is that a crime?
Yes, it is.
Oh, stop it.
All right, I was hoping I wouldn't have to do this, but I obviously have no choice. This is getting worse every minute. There's a handbook on the radio station's bookshelf I want you to look at.
If it's a joke book, I'm not interested.
No, it's not a joke book. It's the Comedian's Rule Book of Proper Behavior as laid down by the National Convention of 1991.
You're not going to bring out that old dinosaur, are you?
I know the radio station keeps a copy of it in this room, Steve. I saw it a few months ago. Is this it? No.
Isn't that last month's Radio Digest?
Yes, Steve. There were some good articles in here, too. Look, 5 things you can do with your radio without turning it on. And, here's one. How to use your radio to communicate with aliens. This one was a great article. Here's one. Heavy rap on radio. Turn on, tune in, throw up.
Look, you're getting too funny. I thought I told you I wasn't going to make any jokes today.
Well, that doesn't stop me, does it?
Yes, it stops you. When are you going to learn that I am you and you are me?
Hey, we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun. See how they fly.
Will you just stop it and stop goofing around? You're just getting me more depressed.
Right, Steve. Oh, wait, I think I found the book. Here it is. The Comedian's Rule Book of Proper Behavior as laid down by the National Convention of 1991.
Look, I really don't want to hear it.
Steve, your professional standing is on the line here. Listen to this on page 3. All professional comics will adhere strictly to the adage, the show must go on. No excuse other than the severest of reasons, i.e. death in the family or major nervous breakdown, will be tolerated. Any comic who willfully refuses to practice his or her craft when it is the comic's turn in the spotlight will be stripped of rank and be considered expelled from the brotherhood and sisterhood of fellow comics. This pariah will then be made to join the general populace. From there on, the above-mentioned comic, humorist, comedian, buffoon, jester, clown, etc., will be prohibited from cracking jokes, puns, bon mots, witticisms, knock-knock, ethnic, elephant, and light bulb jokes, or practicing any other form of humor in the professional arena. This is serious stuff, Steve.
Listen, convention or no convention, I don't have to follow that nonsense.
That's what you think. Unless you've forgotten you signed this pledge back in the beginning when you first became a ventriloquist.
I did?
Yes, you did! Now it continues. The comic shall be stripped of all professional paraphernalia and be made to walk the streets of his or her town in comedic disgrace!
I don't buy it.
You don't buy it. You don't buy it. Well, I'm sorry, but it's my duty to perform this unpleasant task.
What's that supposed to mean? Hey, give me back my hat!
You don't deserve this hat, Steve! In fact, you don't deserve any of the symbols of your profession! I'm confiscating your beanie with a propeller on top!
Hey, don't stamp on it! You're crushing it!
It's part of the ritual, Steve! Ah! Okay, and now for that!
Hey, give me back my hand buzzer!
You've buzzed your last hand, fella. I'll just defuse this thing here.
But I love that hand buzzer!
And now this!
Oh, not that!
I'm sorry, Steve, but you're not fit to own a whoopee cushion any longer. And this! And this!
My epaulets! I feel naked without my epaulets.
They always rip off the epaulets, Steve, when stripping officers of their rank. And now for the coup de grace, the great symbol of every comedian, the one item that separates us from the casual wisecracker, the amateur punster.
No, Harry. I need that. I can't live without it.
The fake eyeglasses with the bushy eyebrows and the big nose.
Don't take that off my face. Please, Harry, I take it all back. I'll be good. I'll be funny.
It's too late for your pathetic apologies, Johnny. The damage has been done. I officially strip you of your standing in the art of comedy by taking the great symbol of our profession, the goofy glasses. You, monsieur, are now officially defrocked!
Ah! I feel so exposed!
Hey, wait a second. You're wearing a second pair under the first ones. Hand over that extra pair, you traitor!
Ow, ow! My nose! Ow!
Whoops, sorry, Steve. I didn't realize that nose and eyebrows were real.
Oh, will you stop pulling on them?
Sorry. Well, now you are officially defrocked. You, sir, are no longer a professional comedian. Any attempts to make jokes or the equivalent thereof will cost you severely.
I feel so ashamed.
Yeah,
Uncle Floyd. This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. I'd like to read some poems for you now.
Steve, let me remind you that if you try to be funny after losing your professional status as a comedian, dire consequences might ensue.
I wasn't planning on being funny, Harry. I told you I'm feeling depressed today as it is. Those of you tuning in late, I just wasn't feeling great today. I decided to lay low and not do any comedy routines. Suddenly, Harry comes up with his cockamamie rulebook from the National Comedians Convention that says if a humorist doesn't live up to his responsibility, his standing as a comic is stripped from him. And Harry has taken away all the symbols of my profession. The hand buzzer, the whoopee cushion, the funny nose with the glasses.
You've been defrocked! And that's because you were guilty of the worst kind of infraction. You know the show must go on. You know that people out there are counting on you to be uplifting and to bring a little laughter and sunshine into their miserable, dreary lives. You can't decide on your own to break character and mope around the studio. You have a responsibility to our listeners. And you've let them down.
And now even if I wanted to, I couldn't be funny.
That's right. The convention is very strict when it comes to that. And there are professional comedians listening to this show right now who are just waiting to slap a huge fine on you if you make a joke.
That's okay, because I thought I would share with the listeners a more serious side to my nature.
You have a more serious side?
You may not know this, Harry, but I happen to think a lot about deep, profound issues.
Really?
That's right. I read poetry.
I like poetry. Roses are red, paper is thin, your ears are like leaves, because they flap in the wind.
No, Harry. I mean, haiku music is an ancient form of Japanese poetry that consists of 17 syllables and 3 lines. The first line has 5 syllables, the second line has 7 syllables, and the third line has 5 syllables.
Does it rhyme?
Boy, you are a rube, aren't you? Now look, come on, I brought in this book called Frog Croaks with learned commentaries by Carl Oldenburg. It's put out on Crown Books. Now, here's one by the great Japanese poet Kinky. Let's get into the mood here, put on some music. Yes, this is beautiful poetry, Harry.
Right, Steve.
Here goes. What tiny stranger rests upon the autumn leaf? Whoops, butterfly poop.
Aw, Steve, that's touching.
Shh, shh, shh. Here's another one by Itsy Bitsu. Greeted by smiles all day long, and life is sweet. Jeesh, my fly's open. See, Harry? I don't need humor to have a good show. You bring in beautiful poems like these. What more do you need?
Morons who actually listen to you?
Now, here's another haiku from the poet, Spiffy. Listen. The quiet young child speaks to the woodland creatures. He has a screw loose.
He's not the only one, Steve.
Shh, quiet. Here's one from the poet, Oh No. My love for my son, not lessons. Because of the BB in my leg. Butterfly wings outspread upon the cool, dry rock where Hubert tore them off. And this from the poet Klutzy. A young girl bending to wash herself in the lake. Behold the full moon. And from the poet Spanky. My love's too busy to hear the song in my heart. She's picking her nose.
Gee, Steve, what wonderful poems.
This one from Yehudi. Stooping for a coin, I step on my fingers, a dime's worth of pain. And this one? I am not deceived, silly skunk with your tail raised. You're not a peacock. Well, that's all I have, Harry.
You know, maybe we should forget comedy and bring this type of culture to Knock on Wood every day.
I don't know. I kind of miss not being allowed to be funny.
Look, why don't I peruse the rule book and see if there are any mitigating circumstances that would allow you to return to your former status?
I'd sure appreciate that, Har. Let's listen to Ed Lipton now.
Giraffes make excellent pets. Because they never forget, they never remember, which I must admit really is why they never forget. They're tall and as quiet as they can be. They eat only leaves off of a tree. If you want a most excellent pet, A great big giraffe is what you should get. I like to ride my giraffe to school. I like to dive off him at the pool. Whenever I'm feeling as low as can be, he lifts up my spirits and also lifts me. Giraffes make excellent pets because they never forget. They never remember, which I must admit really is why they never forget. They're tall and as quiet as they can be. They eat only leaves off of a tree. If you want a most excellent pet, a great big giraffe is what you should get. My giraffe, he likes apple pie. He always gets some as he goes by, as he goes by windows 40 feet high. My pet giraffe is as tall as the sky. Giraffes make excellent pets because they never forget. They never remember, which I must admit really is why they never forget. They're tall and as quiet as they can be. They eat only leaves off of a tree. If you want a most excellent pet, a great big giraffe is what you should get. My giraffe is a good pal to me. We are as friendly can be. He has a neck that is 80 feet tall. He puts me on his team when we play basketball. Giraffes make excellent pets because they never forget. They never remember, which I must admit really is why they never forget. They're tall and as quiet as they can be. They eat only leaves off of a tree. If you want a most excellent pet, a great big giraffe is what you should get. My giraffe, he sleeps in my bed. There's room for his feet, but not for his head. Whenever he wants to come in through the door, he has to bend till his head touches the floor. Giraffes make excellent pets because they never forget. They never remember, which I must admit really is why they never forget. They're tall and as quiet as they can be. They eat only leaves off of a tree. If you want a most excellent pet, a great big giraffe is what you should get.
This is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney.
So, Steve, how does it feel being defrocked as a professional comic?
Terrible. I particularly miss wearing the propeller beanie you stripped me of. If I wasn't depressed earlier, now I really am.
I know, Steve. It was a difficult thing for me to do. But rules are rules, and according to the National Convention Rulebook for Comics, the show must go on whether you feel funny or not. You have a duty to your listeners, a responsibility to your fans. These people rely on your jokes to get them through their day. It's the highest form of selfishness to decide that just because you don't want to be funny, then you won't be funny.
You're right, Harry. I'm ashamed of myself. And now it's too late. I've been dishonorably discharged from the brotherhood and sisterhood of comics.
You could just say humanhood of comics.
How about the Robin Hood of comics?
Hey! I hope that wasn't a joke I just heard.
No, that wasn't a joke. Harry, haven't I suffered enough? I've been stripped of my propeller beanie, my hand buzzer, the whoopee cushion. There's nothing I can do about it.
Well, there is actually one thing you can do.
Tell me, I'll do anything.
Well, I've been perusing the rule book, and I noticed a small escape clause on page 59.
You mean there's hope?
It says here, if the comic should, before the time allotted him or her in the limelight is over, repent and try with all of his or her heart to once again bring a smile to the lips of his or her audience, then the symbols of comedy may be reissued and the full rank of the above-mentioned humorist will be reinstated.
You mean all I have to do is be funny before the show is over and everything will be as before?
Precisely.
Okay, where there's life, there's hope. What should I do? Come on, what should I do?
I got a surefire winner, Steve. The mind reading routine.
But we haven't done that in years.
It'll be funny, trust me. Now I'll blind myself here, and while I'm doing that, you explain to the listeners my powers.
All right. Harry has developed, after years of meditating on the meaning of life, the power of ESP. He's able to focus on the aura around objects and reveal what they are without actually seeing them. Because of this amazing power, he has taken on the name Swami Haryananda. Is the handkerchief on yet?
It's on, Steve. I can't see a thing.
All right, how many fingers am I holding up?
Two fingers and a big toe.
That's my thumb.
Sorry.
I'll just adjust the scarf a bit here. Okay, can you see anything now?
Just the inside of my eyelids.
Good. Okay, now put on this turban. I'm going to hold something up, and you deduce what it is by the sheer power of your psychic abilities.
Right, Steve. Turban is on, the blindfold is secure, I'm ready.
Now, what object, O Great One, am I presenting before you?
I step into a deep trance, and I see that you have before you a set of keys!
Uncanny! Miraculous! What a feat!
What about my feet?
And now, O great conqueror of ignorance, what do I hold in front of you now?
I can hear in my mind, see in my mind, that what you are holding is a paper bag!
Fantastic! How did you know?
Through the sheer power of concentration and wisdom that I have developed over the eons of reincarnated births.
Okay. Now how about this?
That, oh puny earthling, is, that's a, jiggle it, Steve. That is what you call, Steve, jiggle it.
I am jiggling.
That, oh significant lackey, is, Steve, turn off the music, I can't hear.
All right, okay.
Steve, lift it up a little. This is what you call a, little higher, Steve. That, oh mundane pipsqueak is, it's your wallet!
Hey, you peeked.
All right, all right. I'll try it again. I won't look this time.
Good. Now tell me, O spiritual oneness, what am I holding in my hand now?
That, my foolish meatball, is a number 2 pencil, yellow in color with a rubber eraser half chewed off, sharpened down to approximately 2.5 inches with a point semi-dull.
Unbelievable. You really are a psychic, aren't you? Now what do I have in my hand?
Oh, a 90-minute tape UD2 with the upper right-hand corner slightly scratched and the words Bill Cosby on the label.
How do you do that? Is it the power of the mind? The power of concentration? The power of meditation?
No, it's the power of radio. I took the blindfold off 5 minutes ago.
Look, Harry, I'm never going to be reinstated into the comedy institution.
What do you mean?
The show is almost over and that routine wasn't funny. It was just stupid.
Steve. Nothing in the escape clause said you had to be funny. It said you just have to try to be funny.
Really?
Sure, you gave it your best shot. Let's face it, there are good comedians and lousy comedians.
What am I?
You're good and lousy. However, because of a serious attempt on your part to be funny, before your spot in the limelight was terminated, I hereby use the power invested in me to reinstate you into the comic humanhood. Here's your propeller beanie back here. I'll put it on your head for you.
It's a bit smushed.
Well, that's because I stomped on it earlier, Steve. All right, here's your hand buzzer. I'll load it up for you there. There we go. Okay. And here are your epaulets. You can sew them on later. And finally, the big nose with the glasses, which on you, by the way, is a bit redundant. You are now a professional comic once again!
Thank you, Harry. And I promise you that I'll never let my depression get in the way of my career again.
You want to try a joke, just to get back into the swing of things?
I mean, just to sort of feel around a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, let me try one. Doc walks into a drugstore.
Uh-huh.
And he buys a toothbrush and some toothpaste and some shampoo.
Uh-huh.
And the pharmacist asks him if he's going to pay cash.
Uh-huh. What does the duck say?
Duck says, nah, just put it on my bill.
After this, the HFC, the company, Always great courage and the